Well, I want to welcome you that are here on time. Thank you for being here. I appreciate it. And those that are attending virtually, thank you for being here. My name is Herschel Rothschild. I'm with SIM. SIM has been around since for 130 years. They started out in the heart of Africa, but now we're in over 80 countries, serving, responding to need, so we can proclaim the gospel and make disciples. I first heard about SIM when I was at a camp, and someone invited me to come visit them in Nigeria. And 2 years later, we moved. We only went to visit them because people kept asking, how can you be sure you're supposed to go if you've never been? And so it was an objection while we were doing support and prayer and support raising that we came up with, and that's how we overcame it, was we went and God showed up. But there's joy and excitement in prayer and support raising, and that's what I want to talk to you about, and that's why I entitled it this. There's so much joy because it's just watching what God is doing. So SIM, like I said, is by prayer. So prayer is in this for sure. And we talk about prayer a lot at SIM. We've been around, as I said, for 130 years. We have over 4,000 workers working in the 80 countries. And we do medical and we do many other things, but we respond to need because people don't care what you know till they know that you care. And so then we can proclaim the gospel. And in doing that, we're able to make disciples. I love it because you can do it any way. You can do it with radio. You can do it with sports, teaching. You can do it medically, which is what most of you are here for. And it's just beautiful. So I hope you don't mind. This is going to be interactive, and I'm going to ask you questions, and I promise they're not rhetorical. So I made this slide, and my question is, what brings you joy? We're talking about joy and excitement. What brings you joy?
Family.
Family? Yes. Is that what you said?
Seeing people.
People. Anything else?
Helping others.
Serving. Yeah, serving. Right. Yeah.
Setting it up for success.
Setting it up for success.
The assist.
The assist. That's because it's not about me.
That's right. It's the most beautiful play of basketball.
Most underrated too, right?
Yeah,
he said it was the most beautiful play in basketball, and it's underrated. I think it's not about making me known. But it's about making him known. So I wear this shirt not because I'm a colorful person, although I might have a colorful personality. Someone, my friend with Live Global, gave it to me, and it's got a bunch of passport stamps on it. So I train people. One of the things I do in my job is I train people on how to support raise. And we've launched, not only at SIM, but with the ministry that I work with there, hundreds of people, they launch over 1,000 every year that go with different organizations to different countries. So I get excited about where people are going and what God is going to do with them. So by helping people go, I get to create ripple waves across the world. My family and I served in Nigeria. I don't know where you're serving. I mean, I know one person, Andy, serving in Togo. But what I love is, even though God isn't calling me to go right now, he helps me send. Right? And by sending, we change the world. So I'd rather, again, most missionaries I know that are U.S.-based would rather live overseas. But it's just a time that God has us here. So joy is in helping people. Joy is in sharing the gospel. What do you find exciting? To me, this picture is not only exciting, it scares me. I mean, I know I'm tall, but heights scare me. So that's not only exciting, that's terrifying, but what do you find exciting?
The view.
The view?
This picture?
Well, this picture or in life, what do you find exciting?
Different experiences.
Different experiences, roller coasters, hiking overseas. I mean, in Nigeria, hiking was fantastic. Much better than in Houston, Texas. Yeah, so it's about joy, it's about excitement. And I think the exciting thing is, as we talk about this, as we talk about prayer and support raising, the exciting part is seeing what God does. and seeing how he answers prayer. When I talk about prayer and support raising, I'll tell you, we've lived on support over 10 years. I know people that have done it over 30 years. It's the most humbling and faith-building thing I get to do. I went from being in a position where I lived on 100% commission to being in a position, again, I live on 100% commission because it's because others give. And it's God's provision. So when I'm struggling, I have to remember where it starts. So it starts, it all starts in the Bible, right? Our biblical foundation. So again, this is not rhetorical. Who is God? Who does the Bible say God is? Who do you say God is? Say it again.
The great I am.
The great I am. Awesome. Who is God?
Redeemer.
Redeemer. Creator.
Supplier,
provider, yes. Anything else? I mean, he's so many things.
Love.
I mean, God is infinite. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him everything was made. Nothing was made that has been made. So it's... He's creator, he's provider, he's all those things. He's redeemer, he's the great I am. And I think we need to remember that as we go. If he's calling you to go, he's not going to leave you hanging. So support raising, both financially and prayer, is part of your ministry. It's not so you can go. It's part. The ministry starts with that. It's a huge part. The ministry starts with the call, but it's part of it. So don't try and get away from it or don't run away from it. Be excited. Remember, everything is God's. Psalm 50, verses 10 and 11 says, "For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know all the birds of the hills and all that moves in the fields is mine." So my encouragement to you is not only are the cattle on 1,000 hills his, but the 1,000 hills are his. It's all his. What we're talking to people about is not giving to me or giving to you, but giving to him. And only giving to him what's his already. Right? He provided it. So you're asking them to transplant it. So we shouldn't worry about anything. God has called us. He's going to provide. Ours is to trust and to take the next step. We need to remember God has infinite resources. So thinking about that makes me smile because I'm like, I don't have to worry about it. I just have to do my part. And my part is one step at a time. And part of the joy in building relationships is talking to people, right? One of the cool things, I don't know, how many of you have raised support before? Awesome. That's fantastic. And you're building relationships and deepening relationships with people you already know. You get to tell them what God is doing and how he's using you. And you get to ask them to be a part. You get to ask them to be a part in prayer, which is usually really easy for people to commit to. And then financially. And I think when I first started in this, When I first started in this, I took it personally when people said no. But I don't need to take it personally. I don't know their situation. You probably don't know their situation. Where are they financially? You know, are they supporting 10 missionaries already? Are they living above their means? So I don't need to take it personally. I just need to figure God opened that door for me to have a conversation with them. And God's going to provide. So I trust in him. Matthew 6. I hope you don't mind. I'm reading quite a bit of scripture right now. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith, therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day in its own trouble. I'm going to tell you again and again, it's all his. And that's where we need to trust. So spiritual health is so key in raising support. We need to stay in the Word. We need not to think that God called me to do this. Now I just got to go get busy and go do it. We need to stay close to Him. So I don't know when you find time to spend with God. To me, it's usually first thing in the morning. Definitely driving, listening to podcasts. I go running. That's a good time for me to spend with God. I pray out loud when I run. People might think I'm crazy or not know who I'm talking to, but I just have a great conversation. And actually, when I'm running, I get to listen too, right? I only have so much time and so much to say. So, I mean, it's a question of where do you connect to God and when do you listen? Second Corinthians 8 and 9, if you have a chance, go ahead and read that later. In Exodus, God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. I am is sending you. And the Bible tells us again and again, we can trust him. When we talk about the word support raising, I think people freak out and they tend to get overwhelmed with it. And I think I'm just here to tell you, you don't need to be overwhelmed. There's joy in it. There's excitement in it. It's watching God. It's listening to God. When you talk to someone, when you call them to have a conversation, you might find out that that call is not about you at all. It's not even about your ministry. It's about where they are in life, and maybe they walked away from God. Or maybe they're in a place where they have cancer. I had a conversation with someone, and at the end of the time, I said, how can I pray for you? And he said, I haven't told anybody I have cancer. My time is there to just be a light to them. It's not about me at all. It's about making sure God is known, and they know God cares. And God is watching, and he's listening. So I pray that you're excited. I pray that you find joy in it because he will use you. He's not going to start using you when you go where you go. He's using you already. One of the things that our organization, we ask people to do is raise a prayer support team. For a single, it's at least 200. For a married couple, at least 400. And the reason is it's important that people are praying for you. So even now, if you're just starting out or you don't know your next step, I'd tell you your next step is building a prayer team. maybe 20 or 30 as you journey and figure out your next steps. Maybe it's a small group of 5 or 10 to start with and just grow from there. And as people ask questions, you can ask them if you could add them to your prayer, just update so you can update them on life and what God is doing right now and how they can pray alongside you, how they could be a part of it. And as you build into those people, as you pour into those people what God is doing, they'll be excited about it and they'll be taking those next steps with you. And it's really sweet to watch. Philippians 4, 4 through 7 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to him. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus." I know most of that verse, except I always forget to let your reasonableness be known to all. I want the rest of it, but I don't want to be reasonable. I want to be like, God, now. I mean, you called, I'm ready to go. Anybody been to Hawaii? So, on our honeymoon, my wife and I went to Hawaii, and there's this place called the Road to Hana. And we're driving up the road, and there's beautiful waterfalls and tranquil places. It's a two-lane road and then one-lane bridges, and I got to seeing so many waterfalls and the beauty of the flowers and everything. I was just ready to get to Hana, though, because I thought if the road was this exciting, what's Hana going to be like? But when I got to Hana, I realized I missed it on the journey because I was supposed to relax and take it easy and enjoy the journey. So my encouragement to you is enjoy the journey and see what God is teaching you and how he's using you right where you are. Okay, when is prayer first mentioned in the Bible? Not a trick question, I promise.
Calling on the name of the Lord at the end of the genealogy in Genesis might be considered one of the first references. It's at this time that people begin to call the name of the Lord.
Anybody else? Thank you.
I guess the first prayer was when Adam was talking to God in the passing, but I don't know if it was mentioned as a prayer.
There it is. So I literally looked up pray and prayer in the Bible, and I did my search on the apps, and I found out in some versions it's anywhere from Genesis 4 to Genesis 12, or maybe even Genesis 20 in another version. So at SIM we have a person that's in charge of prayer and celebration. I love his title. And I was talking to my friend Charlie, and I said, "Charlie, when is prayer first mentioned in the Bible?" And he goes, "Herschel, come on, when Adam and God are talking, when Adam and Eve are talking to God, what is prayer? Prayer is a conversation with God." And I'm like, oh my gosh, I missed it. And so we need to be praying with him through everything. I mean, in Houston, I drive in Houston, I thank God when I change lanes. Seriously. You know, we need to pray in everything. But this especially, it's so important. And you need to pray for the people that you're talking to. You need to pray before you talk to them. Feel free, come on in. Kids are very welcome. So does praying bring you joy? Absolutely, and sometimes. I mean, I'll tell you, sometimes prayer brings heartache because you don't see it answered the way you want. Sometimes it brings joy when you get the answers you want. Just last week, my mother-in-law had surgery. She has cancer, and she had surgery, and we got bad news Tuesday that was, again, taken back a week later with good news. And so we were rejoicing on Monday after the surgery and really struggling Tuesday and then rejoicing again the next Monday. And so I think we need to, God's word says to rejoice always. And so we need to always rejoice and just trust him that it's his, not ours. So I need to remember that and change myself to help prayer bring me more joy. One of the questions I had someone ask me, if all my prayers were answered, would it impact somebody else? And if the answer is no, we need to change our prayer life. I'm sure you're here because you put God first and you're loving God well. So I think your answer is probably already you're praying for others. But think about that and just remember. I've got a lot of people. I pray for a lot of people's kids that are struggling. Sorry, I'm at an age where I have a lot of friends with adult kids that aren't walking with the Lord. And I have one myself. And I have people tell me I'm still praying. They ask me all the time when they see him. How's he doing? And so it's neat to pray for other people and to know that people are praying for you and praying for your kids. When I think about support raising, I need to remember that it's not me I'm asking for money for. I'm asking for money to do God's will. So we need to remember we're not asking selfishly. When I lived in Nigeria and I would email people and reach out to people and they would say, thank you so much for serving. I was so happy to be there. I'm like, you're helping me do this. You're partnering with me. Without you, I can't do this. And we need to thank them and be grateful and let them know that and invite them to be a part of it. They can come see you. They can come be a part of it. I said it's huge. It's very humbling. So question, is living on support biblical? We've talked about some Bible verses already. Yes. I agree. Living on support is totally biblical. Jesus and his disciples lived on support. A widow provided for Elijah. I mean, talk about humbling. He gets there and he sees her and she's got very little left. She's about to make her last meal for her and her son. And he says, hey, can you make me something to eat? So not all gospel workers need to raise support. Some do missional business. Some work and get a job where they're getting a salary overseas. But most do. Most raise support. And we need to remember, it's all God's. And we're just asking again for what's His. And we're just asking for people to partner with us. And we're not putting it on them. We're trusting God. I promise you, it's not... If you can learn just to trust God in this and not take it personally, if someone says no, it's so sweet to watch. I still remember one of my appointments when I was meeting with a friend and he said, he told me before we met, he goes, Herschel, I can't support you. I said, okay. He says, well, do you still want to meet? I'm like, yes. I love telling people the story of what God is doing. Do you know so many missionaries and different mission agencies, I've talked to different recruitment different recruiters and different mobilizers, lead mobilizers at different organizations. Most of the missionaries come from other missionaries. So as you meet with people and talk to them about praying with you and partnering with you, you may be raising up a next future missionary as they have questions and as they watch you live your life for God. I know when we had short-term teams come out, I invited some people that moved to Nigeria. It's a great open door. In Nehemiah asked the king for support. And God, he stopped and said, okay, I'm going to pray real quick before I do this. Because the king could have killed him just for having a sad face. He said, Nehemiah, why do you look sad today? And you aren't supposed to be sad in the king's presence. So he took his life at risk. And when he was asked that question, he shot up a prayer to God and then started to tell God why he looked sad. And then God asked Nehemiah, what do you need? The king asked Nehemiah, what do you need? Sorry. And he provided it. So God used the king to provide it. King wasn't necessarily a believer at all. So can God provide through a non-believer? Yes. I come from a Jewish background. My mom came to faith on her way to the mission field. My brother is not a believer, yet he's one of our biggest financial partners. He gets to see me live out the gospel on a regular basis. We worked together for over 20 years. And now he watches what God does. So when I talk about joy and excitement and prayer support raising, for those of you that are medical, this picture you may or may not like it. I don't know. I think it's a really cool picture. This is something that happened while I was in Nigeria. This man literally has an arrow in his heart that was pulsating. It's his heartbeat. And he came in. He went on a 3-day bus journey, public transportation journey, to get to the hospital because all the places he went, he was told couldn't help, and they told him to go to the missionary hospital in Jos. He got there with the arrow in his heart. He was still alive. And he spoke a different dialect than we speak in Jos, or they spoke in Jos. I speak a little bit of Hausa. But they had someone on the compound that day at the hospital that spoke the dialect that he spoke, that was able to talk to him, that was able to share the gospel with him. He didn't accept the gospel at that point. But they were able to, it was an ENT and a general surgeon that did this surgery. So I think what is so cool about this picture is, when I say exciting, you never know what God is going to do with the gifts that you have. I promise you, my friend that's an ENT never expected to do a surgery like this. And yet God used it. When I first got to Nigeria, we went to dinner at a family's house. This is him healed. I'll tell more about the story in a minute. But when I first got to Nigeria, I went to a friend's house and he said, "Hey, Herschel, you got here because you put God first." And I know you don't know me. I'm just a little bit prideful. I'm like, "He knows me." And then he said, "You need to keep God first." And that's the spiritually healthy part we were talking about. And I said, "Okay, God first, then my ministry, right?" He goes, "No, then your family." Our kids were in first grade and seventh grade then. And I said, "Okay, God, and then family, and then ministry." He goes, "Yes, that's right." And he goes, "But you need to let God work in you. Because God brought you here not for what you're going to do, but for what he's going to do in you." And that shook me, because I surely thought it was about what I was going to do. But he straightened me out. And he said, "You need to let God work in you. And if you let God work in you, he'll work through you." So God has got you on this journey because he wants to change you and transform you. I mean, Romans 12 talks about, "Therefore I urge you in view of God's mercy to offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God." Anyways, you can read Romans 12, 1 and 2, and it talks about it, that we need not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And how do we do that? We spend time with our Creator, with God the Father. So the rest of the story, and if any of you have worked in hospitals in third world countries, you know, especially this man was put on a transportation and they thought they would never see him again. He had an arrow in his heart. But he was saved, and there was no one there. Usually you need family to take care of you when you're in the hospital. His only family were the missionaries that were there. And they took care of him day after day and watched over him, fed him, kept him clean. And he accepted Christ before he went back to his village. So he not only was physically healed, he was spiritually healed. And he went back to his family as a believer. I mean, I think that's just such a cool story about how God can use medicine to change lives. And it's the beauty of the gift that you guys have from whatever you're doing. Now, it may not be that. It may be sports. It may be something else. It may be education. God changes lives using everything. So when we talk about it, you know, this is someone showing the Jesus film. So why do we need prayer support? Why do you think that's important? Can't do it without it.
Shows your trust and reliance on him.
It involves others in your ministry.
It involves others. We don't want to do it alone. We want others to tow the rope with us. And so it's important to have people praying for you. We had a church that said they couldn't support us financially, but they'd pray for us regularly at their church. I said, wait a minute, like as a church, not put it in a bulletin. He goes, no, we will just stop during service every month or two and pray for you as a family. It was so huge. Have a church of 1,000 praying for you, praying for your family. He said, I'm sorry, that's all we can do. I said, you're sorry? I was so excited. We can't do it alone. God calls us all to be part of the Great Commission, but people do it differently. Some people can do it by praying. Some people by going. Some people also give. And prayer changes things. There's no doubt in my mind, prayer changes things. I've watched it again and again. You look at this. What are some obstacles in support raising?
It's not people.
Speculation.
Speculation? It's not what? People?
It's what you have plenty of people available.
Anybody else? Anybody fear support raising? So I guess.
Feels like sales and marketing.
Feels like sales and marketing. It can.
Yeah.
But I think
rejection.
Oh, being told no. It's hard. Doubts. And doubts, once again, is why we want to say centered on the Word and stay in the Word, because God will reaffirm. And he'll let us know, and we need to find our foundation in that.
Might cause me to have to change my life.
Might cause you to have to change your life. Yeah. I think pride is part of it too. I said it's humbling and faith building to watch the way God provides. So how do we overcome the obstacles? Teamwork. That's good. We have to trust in the Lord and lean not on our own understanding. You have to take it one step at a time. I think my problem is I wanted to have the whole thing laid out and understand exactly my timeline. And God was letting me know it's His timeline, not mine. I just have to take the step and just obey it and just do my part. And understand what my part looks like. I promise you, raising, when we did it the first time, because I've done it, I had to start over because we left the mission for 10 years. And we left because when God called us back to the U.S. from Nigeria, I didn't want to be a U.S.-based missionary. And 10 years later, he let me know. I think he let me know a lot sooner than that. 10 years later, I listened to him. And I was obedient. But I had to start again. And he's provided every time. But I needed to do it one step at a time. And it looked different both times. Prayer and support raising is not a one-time thing. When you get to 100%, it doesn't stop. It's a continuous thing of communication and partnership on both ways. And building relationships. So we need to pray and ask God for wisdom, for provision, for breakthroughs. Has anybody read The God Ask by Steve Shadrach? It's a great book and it's a great training material as far as raising support. When I first raised support back in 2003, when God, when God first raises our support, this book was now. When I came back and we joined SIM again in 2016 and they were using this book, I read it and it made so much sense. It talks about things like meeting with people face to face. It talks about relationships one-to-one instead of one-to-a Bible study. What we need to remember is when it's everybody's problem, it's nobody's problem. Because someone else is going to solve it, right? I don't have to worry about it. They've got it. Someone else here will say yes. But it takes a lot of somebody's. And so face-to-face, Funnier Ministry by Scott Morton, another great book. There's podcasts out there that encourage people in support raising. There's a boot camp that an organization, Steve Shadrach, started, which is called Via Generosity. They have two-day boot camps pretty much every month in different cities. And you can go to that and learn about, you read the book first and you do a Bible study first. And then you go to the boot camp. And there's a lot of role play and interaction and work, and you get to learn and watch how God provides. I get to help lead those boot camps both at SIM and sometimes internationally or in the U.S. for them. And I got to go to Nigeria in June and lead a boot camp for West Africans. And it was really neat because people say support raising doesn't work the same way in different countries. And to a point, it doesn't. But to another point, God still provides, because there was one Nigerian man there that said he raised his whole support in 4 months after he read the book by following what it said to do. So I would tell you the boot camp is much more helpful than just reading the book, and I would encourage you to do that. But I know the book gives you keys. And there's other books as well. These are just two I'm recommending. So the journey looks different for each person. I took this picture in Central Asia. When I talked about next steps, my friend said, you need a different picture for steps. I said, no, it's a path. I'm good with this. I like the picture because it's a winding road. And you don't always know where it's going or where it's coming from. So I think that's part of the excitement. And part of the joy is watching God raise people up. I'll tell you, along the road, our road, I've watched people that I didn't expect to give. And I've watched people that I totally expected to be one of our biggest supporters or be partners in ministry say no. And that's because I'm thinking in my form and God's thinking in a different way, and I just need to reach out to people. And we need not to ask people because we think they can't give or won't give. Because again, if we think about it first as prayer, raising up prayer partners, we should really ask everybody. I know one of the people I didn't want to ask for several years, and I'd gone on a trip with them to Uganda because they had an orphanage there, became one of our biggest supporters. I thought they needed everything for their orphanage. They said, no. Why haven't you talked to us yet, Hersha? We know what you're doing. Why haven't you called us? And it was me trying to do God's work and trying to judge what they were going to do and trying to expect. But my encouragement to you is let him do that. Our job is to call and reestablish relationships or continue to grow relationships and to meet with people. To tell people what God is doing. To tell them, I get excited about it. I don't know if you're excited about what God's doing in you or what God's going to do through you. I mean, it's really cool. Either when I was working with street kids, that was so much fun. But even raising up missionary is a blessing. When I look at where people are going and what God is doing, as I get their newsletters and hear what God's done through them, it's awesome. I mean, the stories that we could all tell and different stories about how God has used different people in our lives. And so, what is God going to do in you during this journey? And not only how will he change you, how will he change others because of what you're doing? I think part of what's going to bring you joy in your journey is watching others respond. and watching people step up, and some of the people that you don't expect to step up. I think you'll be encouraged as you go. I don't think, actually, I know you will be. And hear me, there's going to be hard times. But it's really cool to watch God provide and to see the journey and see what He's doing. So what do your next steps look like? You can tell people why you're going. Remember who our provider is. Know that He's going to provide. People are going to give Him pray, and just know why they should. We invite others, and it's a blessing to them too. It's a blessing to be a part of it because they're a part of the ministry. That ministry does not happen without them. So when I led people to Christ in Nigeria, they were there with me. And I rejoice with them in that. When we got kids off the street, I rejoice with them in that. When you save someone's life or minister to them or help them with anesthesia or something else, or if you're in counseling or nutrition and you help them get healthy, they're partnering with you in prayer and financially. So I guess one of my questions to you is, as we talk about this, where do you see joy in this? Nowhere? In the relationships? You are part of God's plan. I wouldn't tell you I don't think it's joy. I think it's joyful and exciting. And the reason I said that is because I want you to remember that. One of the things I learned out a long time ago, anybody ever been to Israel? Okay. Been to the Dead Sea? Yeah. When I saw the Dead Sea, it looks like a beautiful body of water, believe it or not. But it's nothing lives there, right? But we were going to go into it and float, and that was really exciting. Until I got in the water and realized I had a cut on my body I didn't know about. Right? And what I want you to remember is what you focus on expands. And what I mean by that is if you look for the joy and excitement in support raising, you're going to find that. If you look at the, oh my gosh, I'm so angsty and fearful, you're going to find that. I'm asking you and telling you, look to find joy. Look to find excitement. Because it's there. It's there in the journey. So, I've got time, plenty of time for questions. What questions do you have? About support raising, about joy, about encouragement, whatever you want. I'm up here. Yes?
So I'm not trying to raise any funds for myself.
Okay.
I'm going to be going to PA school in June, so I'm not going.
Congratulations.
For a few more years. Thank you. For a few more years. So
right.
My goal right now is to just, like, learn about how I can be supporting, like, missionaries like you and, like, in prayer, and how I can be connected. Because there's no, my church doesn't do, like, there is enough. Mission affiliated group at my church.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just like, okay, how do I figure out how to support with prayer?
So there's a website called PrayerCast, okay. And it highlights a different country and what the needs are there, and that's one of the ways. And I'll look it up on my phone later in a minute afterwards and give you some other ways you could do it. There's things you can pray for. Find out what's going on in different worlds. SIM has something called Pray 938. We send out a prayer request every day at 9:38 because of Romans 9:38. And it says that we need to pray to the Lord of the harvest. And we're praying to the Lord of the harvest for more workers. And so we send up an update or a prayer request for a worker that's looking to go and just ask people to pray. I mean, that's another way. That's a simple way you can do it. We send other prayer requests too. So there's different ways you can sign up, and I can give you a couple later too, if that's okay. But PrayerCast is one of my favorites because it's a way to find out different countries, and especially as you're looking to go in the future, this might help open your heart to different places.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And it's PrayerCast.org, I believe. Other questions? Yes, sir.
So, as you are preparing to go overseas, but you're still having your like regular job and family, like how much time and dedication should you plan for that to take? Because it seems like that would be a lot of work.
It is. And so it all depends how soon you want to go and what you're looking to do. If you're looking to go short term or long term.
Yeah, long term.
Yeah, so long term, eventually you're going to need to, that's going to be your whole focus. Probably above your job. So I think you look, and there's certain funds you can actually look for people that might want to help you financially and set up a foundational fund. That way you can actually leave your job and be supported and live on support, or you can maybe move in with family. I've seen people do different things. To us, we walked away from what we were doing, and God just provided. And we knew what we were supposed to do. First of all, one time we had enough money. The first time we didn't have enough money. But God just provided as we went, and I did it in my spare time. It just, my weeks got longer. But I still needed to find Sabbath rest. So depending on what organization you're going to go with, you can start drawing a salary at a certain percentage. So with SIM, when you get 50% support, you could start drawing a small salary, and that can help you wean off some of your work and walk away a little bit. Or you can, as I said, someone might step in and set up a fund for you so you can walk away from work for a couple months and focus on support raising. There's different things like that. Does that help?
Yeah. That's a follow-up question.
Oh, sure. I didn't figure you'd just take that one.
What are your thoughts on doing some self-supporting? So we're both doctors.
Mm-hmm.
When you're on home assignment, I don't know, maybe we thought about that idea. I don't know how realistic that is with kids and meeting up with supporters.
Yeah, I think that will leave you dry and possibly burn out. That would be my concern. I understand why, but sometimes it's Sabbath rest and getting refreshed, especially depending on where you're serving and where you're coming back from. Do you know where you're going yet, or are you still searching?
We have a place in mind in South
Asia. Yeah. So sometimes you come back totally exhausted, and you don't need that extra when you're back. Sometimes you need to get the medical, right, the practice in here and renew your licenses. So there's some of that, isn't there? So it depends what that looks like. So I say yes, some, but not a lot, right? You don't want that to be your whole thing, because when you come back, when you're back, it's for furlough, it's for rest, it's for connecting with partners, meeting with your churches, maybe building up some new support because you had another child. I know there's different things that people wind up doing. But I would tell you, you shouldn't come back and get into full-time work right away, that you need time. I'd be happy to talk to you more about that. Other questions? She's not going to have to give me my 10-minute warning because I'm almost done. We've got a brochure that you can get here. You can sign up and get more information about SIM. SIM is a great organization, but hear me. There are so many good organizations here. We are not the only one. And if you're here and you don't know about MedSend, MedSend will help you with your debt. If you have medical school debt and you want to go serve overseas, go see MedSend because they'll help you with that debt when you go overseas, and they'll pay your school loans while you're overseas, your medical school debt. So you can apply for that. I'm going to ask you should have a survey. You can fill it out. If you give me a great remark, that's wonderful. If you didn't like this at all, I'm sorry. That's on me, not on GMHC. I've done this before and always enjoyed it. It was a big room. I was intimidated. You guys have been great. Feel free to ask any more questions. I should have prayed at the beginning, but I totally forgot, and I have it in my notes. I'm going to pray for you unless there's any other questions first.
With regards, through the years, could you describe, you know, your wife's relationship, discussions, and support through this process?
Oh, yeah. So I'm going to answer that. So I love that question. So when we were in Nigeria, it was amazing because I thought she was going to be the mother of our two young children, which she was, don't misunderstand me. But to watch what God did in her while we were there, in her support role, and she wound up, she learned Hausa quicker than me. I had the better accent. She learned it quicker. She taught women English through song, through teaching, through doing worship. She led different people to the Lord. She taught a woman how to read in Hausa. I am so excited when I talk about how God used my wife in Nigeria. And now that we're working in the U.S., she does some meetings with me, and she comes to some of the trainings with me. She deals with some health issues. She has psoriatic arthritis and some other things going on. She helps with the newsletters. In fact, I say helps with. She does the newsletters that we are updates, and she helps me in a lot of ways. She's a blessing. I encourage people when they're raising support to do it together. We did it together the first and second time. I pretty much do our appointments mostly by myself now, unless it's one of her close friends. Does that answer? Yeah, I love watching how God used my wife. It's so cool. So cool. All right, well, I'm going to pray for y'all. Father, thank you. God, thank you so much for each person here. And Lord, I pray that you continue to draw them closer to you, to help them rest in you and trust you. God, raising support can be a long and hard process, or God, sometimes you just supply abundantly quickly, but God, it's a journey. And God, I pray in this journey that these men and women just learn to trust you more, to lean into you, to just know that you are creator, you are a provider. God, it's all yours. So God, to go into these meetings prayerfully and confidently and just know that you've got them. So God, let them be encouraged as they walk away. Father, I pray that you bless them, that you keep them, that you guide them, and that you continue to use them for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you all. Yeah, if you can fill out your surveys, that would be great.